We pray. Heavenly Father, give us ears to hear, a mind to understand, and a heart to believe all that you say. This do for Jesus' sake. Amen. In Matthew 25, verse 41, we read, "Then he will say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Several years ago, when I was still teaching here, I found some scraps of paper on the floor in room 120. On one of them was written, "Why the hell don't you need me like I need you? Why are you so far above me?" Well, apparently, these are lyrics from a song by Taylor Swift. Okay, I understand Taylor Swift is a potty mouth, and even more so in recent years. What did she mean by that? Why the hell? Well, I figure she was saying, what good reason is there for you not to need me the way that I need you? But why bring hell into it? The use of the word hell as an expletive or a punctuation mark is commonplace. Why the hell? What the hell you say, oh hell. But what do we know about hell if there was no Bible? Other religions also teach that there is a place of ultimate suffering. But where did they get the idea? Well, it originated in the beginning of time when Satan and his army rebelled. Jesus calls hell the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So this is their place of unending darkness, shame, horror, agony. People are afraid of hell. And so this is probably the reason why they try to diminish the horror of it by using the word as if it's a common expletive or a common punctuation mark, because the more you make it common, the less frightening it is. You hear the word hell, it doesn't scare you. The Bible uses the word profane. For example, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of the Lord. I profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Now, to profane something is to make it common, make it commonplace. And the wicked try to do this with the name of God, again, because they're afraid of him. However, the name of God is not common. It is holy. It is separate and exalted far above every name that is named. As for the name of Jesus, that's the only name by which we can be saved. Hell is not a commonplace thing either. Jesus calls it outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine a place of outer darkness? Away, outer, away from the presence of God. In hell, there is no hope, no light at the end of the tunnel. So the damned will be gnashing, that is, grinding their teeth in agony. There's no escape. It's a prison of an unending torment. This is the doom and gloom set apart by God for those people who choose to follow Satan rather than Jesus. They follow him, they get what he gets. He who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Any attempt that people make to reduce the frightful lake of fire into a commonplace punctuation mark expletive is like a slap in the face of God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So who wouldn't try to blot out this image of horror from their minds? Well, there's two ways of doing this. One is what I just talked about. We can turn the word hell into a punctuation mark, used frequently and therefore losing its potency. We can make the word so common that when we hear it, it does not strike fear in us. We forget what it really is. The other thing we can do is look to Jesus. Hell is what Jesus suffered on the cross. He suffered that agony for you and me. On that cross, he was in outer darkness, away from the presence of God. You can hear the agony in his voice when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We can't even begin to imagine what those hours of darkness on Calvary meant, the agony. Jesus was deprived of everything that is good because all that is good comes from the Father. There was nothing but darkness and shame and horror and agony. He endured the ultimate punishment so that we won't have to. So here you can look to Jesus, and then you don't need to be afraid of hell because you've been saved. It is so important for us to keep hell real and not to use it the way the world uses that word. By diminishing the horrors of hell, they actually end up diminishing the sufferings of the Savior. We want to be sure that when Jesus suffered, he suffered everything. Nothing is left for us to suffer. Not an ounce of hell, not even this fictional place called purgatory. Nothing. The price is fully paid. So let's keep hell what it is, a terrible and terrifying place. How much more then is the glorious love of Jesus when we understand that he did this, he suffered this for us. He suffered hell so that we can enjoy heaven. He endured shame and horror and agony so that we can dwell in an abode of righteousness, love, and peace. Then our mouths will be filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hymn 192, verses 4 and 6. And in verse 6, you see the word thrall. That means bondage or slavery. 192, verses 4 and 6.
Our grave and sorrow. He rends death's iron chain. He breaks through sin and pain. He shatters hell's dark throne. I follow him through all.